was almost exactly a year ago that I visited one of our companion dioceses, Western Tanganyika in Tanzania, and I took with me our canon for finance administration, Brian Nordwick, and also Robin Denny, who is a young woman in her 20s, and she is an agricultural missioner from Sudan, from our diocese. So she flew down from Sudan. But Brian and I spent about 30 hours on an airplane to get to Tanzania, a very long way. Spent a day in Dar es Salaam as we waited for our other partner diocese for their team to arrive, and we met there. And then the next day, we got on a plane that goes about every other day to the other side of the country. And we flew across Tanzania, and we landed on a dirt runway. And from the window, I could see UN planes and World Food Organization planes, because our companion diocese is also a refugee zone. And as we landed on that dirt tarmac, I thought, indeed, I am in a land far, far away from the one I come from. And when we got off the plane, the local clergy and their wives were dressed in matching beautiful shirts and dresses, and they were there to greet us. And then after we got our luggage and we exited the airport, there was at least 100 people there, singing and dancing and waving palm fronds and flowers there to greet us. And then we piled into cars, and we formed a parade, and there were people spilling off the back of trucks singing this incredible welcome for us all the way through town, about at least 3 miles to get to the church. And there we had the official first welcome, with more singing and dancing and waving of palm fronds and flowers. And one moment that was particularly special for me was when they clearly they create all their own music, of course, but a beautiful song that welcomed me as their mother bishop, and they call their bishops father bishop, and they welcomed me as their mother bishop in a diocese that doesn't not only have no women bishops but no women priests or no women deacons. And it was an extraordinary I would use the word gesture, but the word gesture seems so small. It was an incredible outpouring of love, of Christian hospitality, and of generosity. And everywhere we went, it was like that. People lined the roads as we arrived into town and sang and danced, and they fed us, and they just showered us. I refer to it as my Madonna moment. It's an extraordinary, extraordinary thing. And Gerard said to me one day as we were in the four-wheel drive vehicle getting across some dirt road, and none of us had had our showers were water in a bowl poured over our head, and water had been boiled all day just so we could bathe in it. We didn't drink it. And he looked at me after a few days of this. He said, "You know, Mary, you have stamina." I said, "I think I'll agree with you on that." He said, "You know, bishops come here, but they never come back. And we're scheduled to go back 2011, the summer of 2011. And it's so important for me to go back and to say, not only we love you, but to affirm that we receive this outpouring of love and hospitality and generosity that was just so graciously given to people from a land far, far away, from a culture utterly different than their own. And yet we were fully and completely embraced. And I understood after my time in Tanzania, I understood Palm Sunday so much better. And I understood that those people who welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem as they humbly bowed And there would have been a myriad of responses to Jesus, just as we hear in our church and in our culture today, ranging from, who is Jesus? To, he is a messenger or an agent of God. To, he is God. And there would have been all those responses to him right there in that crowd. But the energy and the momentum was to say, something is happening here in this extraordinary man. Maybe I'm not sure who he is. Or maybe I know he's God. But he has done amazing works among us. He miraculously fed people. He healed them. He was the presence of God to them. He included so many that the community, the people, would leave out for whatever reason. And what a beautiful outpouring that crowd that welcomed him into Jerusalem offered to him. And as we're caught up in the liturgy and making sure we move in the right way this morning, and just ponder a moment. I mean, just picture that scene of that reverent, beautiful outpouring of love for Jesus as he comes into Jerusalem. The Pharisees offer this extraordinary response. We heard this in the account of Luke out on the patio. As the people are praising God for Jesus, the Pharisees say to Jesus, make them stop that. And I can't imagine in my own experience being welcomed the way I was in Tanzania, the way we were in Tanzania, somebody in that crowd saying, make them stop that. What an extraordinary response. And Jesus just looks at them and says, you know, I don't think that's going to work out too well for you. I don't think you can stop this, praise God. If the stones could sing, they would sing. There is a section that comes right after the section that we read today. There's a gap. Not sure why the translators put the break there, but they want to say something like, we're not sure if this was part of the original or what. We don't know. But the next verse has this response from Jesus, that he looked out over Jerusalem, city in which he had just entered, and he wept. He wept, and he said, oh, Jerusalem, you of all, if only you understood where your peace came from. If only you understood, Jerusalem, where your peace came from. And he weeps. And then you heard just in this reading of the Passion, as Jesus says to the women, don't weep for me, weep for yourselves. And Jesus wept for Jerusalem, the city that is supposed to speak as a body about God's loving presence, about God's peace. And the origin of that peace, which is from God, God's own self. And we as Christians believe we understand that peace and the source of that peace through Jesus. That when you look at Jesus, you see God. You see God. We enter this story of God's outpouring of love to us in Jesus. That is what God does in Jesus, is pour God's self out to us so that we can know the fullness of God. The Philippians reading we heard, you know, Jesus empties himself like a slave. He completely gives himself over to God's offering and carries it all the way through to death, to complete and utter rejection. And this week we will be taken up into that story. And my prayer for all of us as we move through this that we get in touch with the source of our peace. We get in touch with the pouring out of God into our lives that is meant to feed us and heal us and transform us and save us. Save us. That word salvation means wholeness, to make us whole. And so for each one of us as individuals, my prayer is that we are in touch with that as we move through this profound story of God's outpouring of love for us. It is so important, though, that we recognize that it's not just about us as individuals, but that the church is the body of salvation. Like Jerusalem, the church as a whole, as a body, is meant to say something. It is meant to say, the source of peace dwells here. And we are gathered around the source of peace. And sometimes we miss that, especially in our American individualistic context. Catherine, our presiding bishop, said a few months ago, individualism is the great American heresy. It's the great American heresy. And sometimes in the church, you know, we behave in ways that are quite individualistic. You know, I feed the poor because Jesus did, or I feed the poor because it makes me a good person. And it's so important that as the church we say, I feed the poor because the body of salvation, the church, wants to welcome everybody into it. Everybody into it, so they and we can know the source of our peace, the source of our salvation. Does it mean we're whole and fixed? No. It just means we know where wholeness can be found. And it is in us, the body of salvation. And this week we will journey as individuals for our own personal spiritual building up and edification, spiritual feeding. But let us not forget our common mission to say to our community, we are the body of salvation.